Wow, how many are glad to say that you can actually say that and mean it? It is well with my soul. God's done something in my life that allows me to say what? It is well. I'm going on. Before I pray, there's something I want to keep you to just alert your minds to, okay? Then we're going to go into the sermon. This is part of the sermon. This is a short ride down here called Earth. I just want to remind you of that. We had a member who was hanging out last Sunday here. He's hanging out. He had having a great time in worship. Monday night, he has a massive heart attack and he dies right there on Monday night. Jerry Buttram. Y'all remember Jerry? He's at the door. He had a stroke and he walked on it with a cane, you know, and he always served God. But you know what he reminded me of this week? This is important that we get this when we hear it. So many of us are waiting to be godly someday. We're going to put it off. We're going to get with God when things get okay with us. How many of y'all played that game? Once all the chaos straightens out, then I'm going to get real close to God. I'm telling you, this is the day the Lord has made. Be glad and rejoice in it. There's a power in that that I don't think we've totally awakened to. Today is the day of God's salvation for you. So we're going to talk about that. That to really live out Christ in the day. Is that cool? All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're real. Jesus, I thank you that you're holy. I thank you that you're the majesty. I thank you that we can sing about you. And Lord, when the little bitty hairs on the back of our neck stand up because we know that you are absolutely God, I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that you don't leave us when things get tough. And I thank you that you teach us to stay in there when things don't always go our way. So God, help us to be a living reality that broadcasts and illustrates the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? Huh? What do you think? Amen? All right, go with me to 1 Peter. We're in a difficult passage of Scripture today that gets very real. People want to know if Jesus works. That's the bottom line. How many of y'all are here today want to? Does Jesus really work? Man, me too. I had that question. I used to sit in church and I'd go, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Does this stuff really captivate your life? Does it really set you free? Guess what I tell you? It really does when you square up with a real Jesus. Now I want to give you three things that if you have decided to be a follower of Jesus Christ that have embraced your life. Watch this. Here's what people want to know. Can you do it when nobody likes you? Can you follow Christ when things aren't going well? Here's what I know. Life is tough at times. How many of y'all found life's tough at times? How many of y'all bumped into a life is tough at times moment? Well, you guess what? Don't get all freaked out about that. Life has always been tough. There are tough moments. You go to the doctor and he doesn't tell you what you want to hear. You go to the accountant and you owe the government more than you ever thought you could owe a government. There are these moments. You got a test, you know, you guys that are in school, you know, you just know you aced that final. And you aced it all right. It's a 59. I mean, y'all have had those moments. It's tough. Sometimes it's tough to get older. I mean, y'all find it's tough to get older sometimes. Stuff hurts that never hurt before. You can't do some of the things you used to could do, huh? But then there's some blessings about being older. There really is. How many of y'all found some blessings about being older as you age? Some of us have aged in here, some of us not. Yeah, because guess what? I know the 10 things not to do that young guy's got to go do. See what I'm saying? He's going to go do 10 things. I know they already don't work because I've already done them. So I, with my speed, I can still get more done than a young man because I'm going to go do the one thing slowly I know that works as he goes and tries the 10 things that don't work at a high pace. And eventually he'll get to the one thing that what? Works. Life's tough. So how do we deal with tough moments? The letter of 1 Peter is being written in the midst of a tough moment. Ms. Lowe, what's going on here is people are persecuting Christians. They don't like them. I found this, as long as everybody likes you, everybody pretty well follows Jesus, yeah? It's hallelujah, it is well with my soul, as long as it's going my way. How many of y'all sing, it is well, if it's my way? Now, it really gets Jesus style when you can say, it is well, when it's God's way. Now, I know some of you have grown up in what I call the Pollyanna American Jabez Christianity. I call it Jabez Christianity. As long as the Lord's blessing me, then it must be of God. If you really look at the Bible, God doesn't groove like that at all. God's not sent here to make sure you have a Pollyanna ride through life. That's not what the cross is about. God's brought us here so that we might know three distinct things that really change the world. Now, once you know these are already in you, go ahead and say this. These are in me. Come on, repeat after me. These are in me. Come on, let's break it down, 9:30. These are in me. If Christ is in me. You got the love of God. How many of y'all realize you got the love of God? Tell your neighbor, be careful, it might jump out. Huh? Love of God, jump out on somebody, huh? She got a lot of it. It'll jump out on you, all right? You ready? Love of God. There's three things I want you all to express into the world. First, the love of God. God loves you. He loves you. I'm going to tell you again, God loves you. Because guess what they're going to tell you in the morning? Nobody loves you. Especially if you're a school teacher. Huh? Have all the kids acting just like their parents. 35 of them. God loves you. Number two, as this year has unfolded, I think this is more important than it's ever been in my life, so I'm going to share it with you. Because every prayer, God keeps impressing me. So tell them about this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah built a whole city. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. I have found that people that enjoy the incredible possibilities of God accomplish more than people that don't enjoy life. Even when things are tough, there still is what? Joy. Yeah. How many of y'all have lived long enough to know that when you went through some tough times, it was some of your greatest learning experiences? But in the midst, you didn't want what? You didn't want that moment. How many of y'all, when it was tough, you go, I wish this would just quit. And then 10 years later, you realize that moment when I hurt the worst has become the greatest blessing in my life. Kind of weird, isn't it? The joy of the Lord is my. Now, and then guess what? I think you got to do this. You got to be convinced of your destiny. We're a destined people. We're all going where? Why do y'all say, I mean, that ought to stir you up. Now, I'm going to heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel distinctly different in the directions I head in life. If I'm going north I-65, I'm not as happy as if I'm going south I-65. How many of y'all getting ready for spring break? We're in the spring break season. How many of y'all get ready for spring break? Yeah, what do you do to get ready for spring break? Come on. Huh? You pack. Absolutely. And you're a little girl, so you all pack your whole room in one of those backpacks, don't you? You play with two items and carry 200, right? Okay, good. I was just checking. What else do you do for spring break? Get a tan. You got to get a tan. You can do that many ways now. You can go to the tanning booth, or I noticed Elizabeth's got some spray dirt now, and it's dirt in a can. And that her and I have a good time with each other, and she came in. She was telling me about this tanning stuff, and I said, "Honey, I'm not. Please don't get mad at me." But I said, "You know, when I was a little kid, we used to throw dirt clods at each other. We'd go play in dirt hills. I mean, you listen." Nintendo ain't got nothing on a good dirt hill. And Elizabeth looked like she'd been throwing dirt clods at somebody. I said, honey, what are you... I thought to myself, if I would have just known as a child that you could bottle dirt and one day people would spray it on them for a large amount of money, wow, what an enterprising young man I could have been. It would get a tan though, right? Come on, we get a tan, right? Yeah. And then how do we act about 2 weeks before we go there? We get kind of cranked up. And what else do we do? Come on. Okay, when somebody asks you, y'all aren't going to participate, are you? Y'all going, I don't know what I did. I've heard y'all. If somebody asks you, you know you're going to Florida, you're going to some exotic island, and they say, where are you going? How many of y'all, you really struggle in telling people about it? Or you just automatically, what? Oh, we're going to this little place outside of destiny. Nobody else knows about it. It's our own private island. And we're gonna hang out. And Elizabeth and Clacy, my daughter, when we get ready to go on a vacation, Clacy and her memorize the brochures. And Clacy could already be a travel agent. I mean, Clancy, when she gets on the plane, she has read everything about where we're going. And she'll tell us now, there will be singing dolphins at 1:35 over in pool number B. I said, how do you know stuff like that? She said, I read it in the brochure. And it was so funny. We went on one trip and she was waiting to pet the dolphins. She'd been wanting to pet the dolphins all of her life. And I do have to confess that Blake and I, her brother, we do pester Clancy quite a bit. And so the whole trip we were saying, Clancy, you know, them dolphins probably not going to be. By the time you get there, the dolphins, they probably, some of them probably died and stuff. You won't be able to pet them. And she's like, I said, Flipper will be laying backwards or something. I don't know. You know, she's, he will not. Sure enough, we get to the dolphin place, and the dolphins were in a mood. It was mating season for the dolphins. And apparently dolphins are much like male men. When they are ready to mate, they're not real nice. And they don't want you to pet them. And so they had clothes. Of course, you can imagine Blake. He said, Glazen, the dolphins are too excited for you to go pet them. And the dolphins were closed. But she knows everything on that brochure, and she wants to tell them about it. Now listen, there's three things we need to do as we live out our Christian faith. Number one, the love of God's got to come out of us. Live in such a way that you know, Doc, that you lay a stamp of God on somebody. The love of God. Number two, I think the joy of God's got to hit His children. What do you think? You know, Raj, I watched your family. When they got together, they smiled. Why? They were with Mom and Dad. And that's a good thing. Same thing in heaven. When we're with each other, we're with the Heavenly Father. That ought to bring on some what? Some joy. Now, the third thing, our destination is heaven, and I think we ought to start living in such a way that people know we're heading there. Amen? Amen? I mean, we're heading to heaven. That's a good, I mean, that's a flip-flop tan kind of world. You know what I'm talking about? This is a place of great joy. Now let's talk about what happens when the world doesn't want to hear what we got to say. We got to keep on going with Jesus. And this is what happens right here in 1 Peter. Look what happens. He says, now look, 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 13. Some of you aren't going to like this because you're an American. So in the name of Jesus, may you hear truth for once. Submit yourselves. Boy, that's not an American thing, is it? By God, I'm going to do what I want to do. By God, I'm self-made. There ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Hell will be full of people like that. Can't you just see hell? There'll be people going. They'll have all the power of positive thinking in hell. I'm really not in here. I'm really not in here. I'm really not in here. They're just going to smile their way out of hell. They're going to stay there. Some people are going to try to think their way out of hell. Well, logically, this shouldn't have happened. The dynamics shouldn't have been there. It shouldn't have been in the Darwin process that this would have evolved to this kind of point. And they're going to be in there trying to think their way out of hell. Guess what? They ain't getting out. Only through Jesus Christ do we get out of hellish situations. Amen? And you got to submit yourself to grace to be a part of grace. The whole salvation thing works like this. Here's the submit point. I'm a sinner. Submit. I believe Jesus died on a cross. There's some hope and love. I've come through the cross into the resurrection, and I've submitted to live a new life in a new way. That's the gospel. So what does he say? Man, he said, listen, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. To what? To every authority and institution among men. Whether to the king, as a supreme authority, or what? To any other authority. Now let me show you something. Those who follow Jesus ought to be the best. The best. I want you to hear that. We ought to be the best. I think where this comes to us a lot of times is workplace. How many of y'all work for somebody? You have people over you in authority. How they see you has a lot more to do with your witness than what you do in here. How many of you all supervise people? How they see you. If you're a supervisor, you ought to leave an impression of love, an impression of joy, and a destination of heaven in supervising people. But that, you know, I find the hang-up is not as much in supervision as it is Christians being placed under authority. To me, I know a lot of y'all are going to disagree with this, but guess what? For those that follow Christ, they ought to not be on time. They ought to be 5 minutes early. For those that follow Christ, they ought to not be asking, how little can we do and still be a part of this? They ought to be the ones that are setting a blessed pace. I can count on you because they follow Jesus. Now, that would change the world. That would change the world. Unfortunately, it's absolutely
180 of that. So just some things that are really good. Christians, don't be whining. Okay, listen. If you work in a workplace, people are going to cuss. How many of y'all find that to be true? Well, quit being so wound up about people cussing. Why don't you start living such a life that they would go, I want a life like so-and-so. See, here's what we do as Christians. We find the simplest little stupid thing to pick on. And we just ride that horse till that horse drops. But we forget, are we in such a way that we leave a witness in a presence among people that declares the love of God, the joy of God, and the destiny of heaven? That's our job. Not to pick on people's moral insignificance, but to actually illustrate God's grace among them. What do you think? That's what he's saying. He says, submit to these authorities for the sake of the who? For the Lord. Now, here's why. Here's where I started this message. We don't live here very long. We don't live here very long. Don't get hung up on governments and kingdoms. They don't last long. There's no government system, go check your history, there is no governmental system that's ever been put together for eternity. Every form of government we create eventually dissipates. And here's why. It's created by humankind, and since it's created by humankind, it's automatically corrupted by humankind. You following me? I don't care how many times we protest. I don't care how many times we sign petitions. Our structures will always fall short of the glory of God because we made them up. All of them. There's only one thing that's divine. His name is Jesus. There's only one kingdom that's divine. It's the one that he created, and it holds up forever. So he says, hey, don't get so shook about temporary things. There's a message in itself. He says, look at these governors. They are to govern, respect, submit to those who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. Let me help you with this. There are people that do good things and there are people that do bad things. And it looks like to me here, if you read the Bible doesn't resist people being punished for doing bad things. We got a group of Christians out there that just let anybody go for everything. No, when you break the law, then you become subject to the law and you'll be punished by the law. What do you think would happen if we actually had punishment and not recreation facilities? I guarantee you go beat rocks for 3 years, you will never do it again. These people that lived at this time, the Romans, when they talked punishment, they didn't talk parole. When they meant they were going to put a whip on your back 39 times, they put a whip on your back 39 times. He said, you submit. Now watch this. You know how you stay out of punishment? Do the right thing. I'm not going to say never, but rarely do those who are in the right place at the right time get punished for doing bad things. Even people that are unjustly accused are always on the edge of what's going on. Have you noticed? You can't ever get busted for having cocaine at the party if you're not at the party. How many of y'all like to get close enough to sin, but you don't go all the way in, and you think if you're just kind of close there, you're kind of communicating with it, that it's not going to get you? I kind of look at sin like this. Sin's kind of like the swimming pool. And I found if you walk along those wet tiles along the edge of the swimming pool, you're not going to be watching, and you will fall in sometime or another. Huh? How many of y'all have noticed? And you get right on the edge. I used to do that. Get right up here on the edge all the time. I said, well, man, I'm strong enough in Christ. I can walk up here, boom, there I go. Huh? He says, submit to what? Submit to Christ so that you can walk solidly in the world, communicating what? The love of God, the joy of God, the destiny of God. Submit to him. He goes on and he says, look, for it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. I love it. The Bible knows there's ignorant people there. It's just people that talk trash. Can I break it down where we understand it? If I was writing this today, I'd say, hey, listen, there's a bunch of stupid people that'll talk trash. And now we have electronic trash talking network. It's called email. And the internet has allowed people who have absolutely no brains to communicate with no copyrights.
See, now we have a free publishing system. Used to, didn't they, Dr. Earl? They checked people before they let them publish stuff like, do you have brains? Do you have logic? Do you have details? Do you have research? Do you have evidence of what you're fixing to pronounce? This was in an old world, an archaic world. Now, we just broadcast it, and guess what? We have people that'll believe anything without ever researching a thing. Anything! They'll come in and go, did you get the email about the giant Toyota that ate the semi going down the road? It's true. But you know how you silence the talk of people by living straight up. And living straight up is living in the love of God, the joy of God, and the destiny of heaven. Does this make sense? Live in such a way that people will have to make stuff up about you. Live in such a way when you leave, whoever you're around, they will have to say something about Jesus. Can I run that by one more time? Live in such a way, with such intensity, that when you walk away from whatever situation you've been in, they got to say something about who? Jesus. They may say, man, that guy follows Jesus. All he does is talk about Jesus. That girl, man, all she's doing, talking about Jesus all the time. Yeah. I tell you what, if you go through life and you're leaving that behind, you're going to have a lot of treasures up in heaven. A lot. Oh, by the way, for those of you that think heaven's an even place, you need to read the Bible real good. People ask me all the time, they go, well, is there a difference between people that committedly live out their faith and people that just get saved? And I said, oh, a huge difference. There is reward in heaven. There are going to be a lot of people down here who look like they were living well, who up there probably be cleaning the streets for us. Because they didn't store up any treasure where? In heaven. They blew it all down here. And you got to really understand that principle to kind of go through life. You know what? You might be a big shot down here for 70 years. What if you lose your salvation? Or you get no salvation, would be more appropriately than that. And then really think about this. The Bible talked about this. What does it profit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? Well, here's what he was saying. What is the big deal with 100 years when you forsake an eternity? See what I'm saying? He says, be wise. He says, live in such a way that ignorant people have to be silenced. He says, go on, you got to live this out. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Guess what? Here ought to be our job. Instead of demanding our rights, we need to broadcast Jesus' freedom. Lord have mercy on our souls. I am so sick and tired of hearing about everybody's rights. I don't know if any of y'all are. Y'all get sick and tired of that, or some of y'all still just steal into that? I'm so tired of hearing about everybody's rights. Because you know what I'm saying? Watch. If that was so true, why hadn't we gotten a whole lot better? Because really, if you want to find magnificent life, you got to get into Jesus' way, not my right. My rights cause me a lot of trouble. And then Jesus takes away our right and gives us His freedom. And then He says, hey, be careful. Don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil stuff. Make sense? So be careful how you live. And He goes on. And He tells us, He says, man, you're going to walk in the world. There's going to be difficult moments in that world. But keep on going because, look, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God, honor the King. How many of y'all respect people? Very few. Good. I'm glad. Really, y'all got very few hands up. You probably tell me the truth. Most of us don't respect anybody else but who? I mean, nobody else has any worth. I can do it better. You know what ticks me off? I'm just going to go give you a pet peeve. You got a brother or sister up there. You're somewhere. They're working it real hard. And you always got somebody out in the audience telling you how they would do it a lot better. Well, let me help you out. If they do it a lot better, they'd be the one up there talking. But you always got somebody. And I always get stuck sitting by them. And it's always at a pastor's conference. And you got some pastor up there, man, dude's grown his church, God's blessed him, he's made the sacrifice. See, that's what people don't understand. Successful people sacrifice. You know, I don't have a problem with a doctor making $500,000 that's fixing to cut into my head. I hope he makes $1,000,000. I want the best one out there. I don't want no dime store doctor when he's cutting into my head. I want one that's the best, don't you? What do you want, discount docking? Give me the cheapest, lowest understanding doctor you got. You want that? Or you want what? If they're fixing a saw on your head, do you care what they make a year? You do? I want them to make a lot. Because my head is precious. It's big, but it's precious. It's a precious big head. And I know if he gets into my brains, he's going to have to really be an expert in microsurgery. I want him to know how to move around something that doesn't have a lot going on. See? Huh? Yeah. Want the bed boy? Said, how many of y'all? And I always sit by this pastor. He goes, well, now that preacher right there, he missed it on this. And it's all, you know, the dude's pastor in a 100-member church. And he's been pastor at a 100-member church for 30 years. Not that that's a bad thing. And it wouldn't be a bad thing if he'd just shut up. What makes it a bad thing is he's always mouthing about the dude that God has blessed instead of celebrating with the guy that God has blessed. Now, we as Christians ought to be able to celebrate with other believers that are doing a great job. There's two things I find we have a hard time in Christianity doing. We have a hard time getting through when things get tough, and we have a hard time celebrating other brothers and sisters' successes. It's okay. Which is, I want Chris Allen to be the best weatherman that he can be. Even when he's got it snowing on Oil Change weekend, I still find hope for him in the Lord. Amen? I know his job's not to change the weather, his job's to tell the weather. But I want him to be the what? I want you to be the best in what you do. I mean, I really do. I get charged by that. Those of us that follow Christ, man, we ought to put it all out there in such a way that people can see, hey, Jesus Christ makes a difference in the way we live. Yes? What do you think? What do you think? Live among the brotherhood and the sisterhood in such a way that people will know it's worth living in. I'm still amazed by this. I ride a motorcycle. I ride a Harley. I'm still amazed how by riding a Harley, I have more unity by riding a silly motorcycle with people than I do being under the blood of Jesus. Can you explain that heresy to me? No matter where I am in the country, if I'm on that Harley and somebody else is on a Harley, they are automatically my bro or sis, whether they know my name, what I'm into, or what I'm about. Now guess what? That's exactly how it ought to be in Jesus Christ. We have been stamped by the blood of Jesus. We're a part of the cross and the resurrection. And anybody else that's a part of the cross and the resurrection, guess what? You my brother, you my sister, and you ought to be treated that way. That's exactly what that passage of Scripture is saying. You my brother in Christ. That means we work out our problems as brothers. We work out our difficulties as brother and sister. We get through life as sister to sister. We're obligated to each other to do the best for one another because we're a part of the family of God. What do you think? And he even goes this far. He said, slaves. Don't panic here. There was slavery. There's always been slavery. In fact, most of the slavery in the ancient day was bond servant slavery. If you got in debt to another person, then you would have to become a slave of that person and you would have to serve till your debt was paid off. A lot of bond servants. Same thing a lot of you guys are in. It's called credit cards. How many of y'all are a bond servant to Citibank? You are if you bought an item and you're paying 23% interest on it. Back in 1950, that was illegal. That was called loan sharking. Now that's called credit card business. It's legal. When you think about how crazy... Hey, I've been a bond servant to it. When I first got married, man... flipping my Visa Gold back in the 80s as we were doing trickle-down economics. I was doing voodoo economics. I was flashing a plastic card that had nothing behind it but my flip. And guess what? I became a bond servant. And since Elizabeth was married to me, she became a bond servant with me. To what? Pay off debt.
That's what was going on. And he said, even in the midst of your debt, even in the midst of slavery, look what he says do. Here's how he calls it. He says, listen, slaves, submit yourself to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. What do you do when people say all kinds of bad things about you? You keep acting like Jesus. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he's conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? In other words, he said, if you act rebellious, you're not being responsible. Don't think it's a high condemnation, a high recommendation that you get punished for doing the wrong thing. Does that make sense? Did I get that out? If you do the wrong thing, you're not making a statement by getting punished for it. You're getting punished for doing the wrong thing. Make sense? You're making a statement when you do the right thing and you still get punished. You'll leave a Jesus mark there. Sometimes you're the one that stands up and nobody comes with you. But I'm going to tell you what, in the long run, that person wins. Here's what I want you to know as a congregation. I'm going to close. Short-term glory is just that, short-term. Think about all the people you've read about that you hear about no more in our culture. Bunch of them in it. 15 minutes of what? Fame. You know what most of us are trading? 15 minutes of fame for an eternity of hell. We did it our way. Want the world to know me. And Jesus said, no, live in such a way that the world might know me. Live in such a way that they might know your destiny. I'm serious, guys. It's so hard to preach a message like this into American culture, and that's what we're having to do this morning, because guess what? I know this is everything we don't believe. We believe get in your face, demand your own way, be recognized, get fame, make it to the cover of the magazine, be the hero. I mean, it's pounded in our heads. And Jesus comes and reverses this 180 and says, my glory will outlast your fame. And he says, in such a way, look, he says, understand, but if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. Now, this is what you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to what? To sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been what? Healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned. Why? To the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wow. Two things I want to leave you with out of that. Don't trade what you got going on for what God will give you. It will stand up. What do you think? How many of y'all believe that? It'll make it through. It'll make it through. You reckon it'll make it through? It'll make it through. So tough lesson today, yeah? How many of y'all got an employer, man, that just ticks you off? Then guess what you got to do? You got to leave the impression of Jesus even in a difficult situation. What do you think? Look how foolish Pilate was before Jesus. Pilate talking about how powerful he was. Do you know what I could do to you? What if Jesus looked at him and said, do you realize I could vaporize you in a matter of milliseconds? I could turn your particles and your atoms into nothing but dust in the wind. Is that what he said to Pilate? Did he put a little cross on his shoulder, Jesus, and go, I dare you to knock it off? No, he wasn't Clint Eastwood. He looked at him and he said, the only reason you can do what you do is because my Father will allow it in this moment. And the only reason it's being done is so that you and I might be changed. So he'll do it. See the difference? So you know what? Let's live in such a way that they got to know they've messed with who? Jesus. That's the switch. That's the last thing. Live in such a way that when people get around you, they got to deal with Jesus. That's a great witness. It's a great witness. I wish I could tell you that I always made that. I don't. I look at that and I say, thank God for growing up. I remember when I came to this church, I was in my upper 20s. And people used to say all kinds of things about this church. And as soon as they did, I broke out kung fu fighting. I'd give it right back to them, man. I'd give them right back to them. I'd tell them what prudish, capped up, lack of freedom Pharisees they were. And guess where that got me? Nowhere. Nowhere. And so guess what I finally did? I quit listening to their insults and tried to leave a Jesus print as I walked by and live in such a way that they have to lie. Live in such a way that they have to lie. In fact, I was talking to a couple Wednesday night and they said, we moved away from here and we came back to Hillview and I just wanted to tell you, Pastor, when we came back into the church, people lie about you all the time. I said, no kidding. You know? I said, what have you found? She said, we found it to be lies. Live like that, and here's what I found in life. And I'm not an old man, but I'm getting older. I'm older than I was when I came here, H. And here's what I know. If it's a lie, it won't hold up. And if it's a truth, it'll find you out. And here's something else I found. My daddy used to tell me this all the time. I didn't believe him, but I do now. You'll be found out before you leave the planet. Who you really are will be discovered before you leave the planet. Friday, I went to a funeral of a brother in his church. A lot of people here would just overlook a human being like that. And that room was saturated with the Holy Spirit. And I heard Jesus speak, my kingdom's not yours. And I've been to funerals where they had, you know, Lord have mercy, it took them 35 minutes to read the obituary of all the organizations the person was in, and they wanted to make sure everybody knew all that they had done. And there was absolutely dry emptiness in that, because you know what? Everybody knew that all that person was members and memberships, but they never knew the person. You will be discovered before you leave the planet. And you know what 1 Peter telling us? Allow Jesus to be discovered by who you are. That sums up the message today. No matter what situation you're in. Is it easy? No. Is it worth it? Absolutely. So let Him speak. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ? And if you don't, I want you to pray a prayer with me. If you've never asked Christ in your life, I'm going to go ahead and let you praise God as I like to connect our services. We've already had two folks receive Jesus Christ this morning at the 8 o'clock service. Isn't that great? I don't ever get tired of that. Do you? And it's your turn right now. You know as well as I do, in a crowd this size, there's people here that are not connected to Jesus yet. Huh? Yet. So you know what I want you to do? Even if you know the person, not out loud, but just in your heart, I want you to pray for the person next to you and say, Lord, I just want to make sure they have a real relationship with you. And I say it like that, a real relationship. Because you know what I found? There's a bunch of hokey gospel in American churches. You know how I know? I watch folks live. They say they believe in Jesus Christ. They don't do absolutely anything the Bible says and think they're going to make it to heaven in the end. Now that, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to shoot you straight. That's a lie out of hell. See, there's a difference in security of believer and cheap grace. And let me help you with cheap grace. It's no grace at all. Real grace puts me in a new way of living. How in the world do I get that? First of all, I got to submit I've sinned. How many of y'all know you've sinned? Broke the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all broke one Ten Commandment? Okay, you're a sinner. So what you need is grace. So you need to ask Jesus Christ to come into what? Your life and forgive you of your what? Sins. Now when you get connected to heaven, you get a whole new life. So let's pray. If anybody needs to do that, do it right now. This is the day the Lord has what? Made. It's a good time to get saved today. So I'm going to put it off, Pastor. I want to stay in hell another 6 weeks. All right. How much sense does that make? I'm going to start living for God when I get better. You're not going to get better till you start living for God. Let's pray. Lord, Thank you for all the beautiful people you brought here today. Every one of them. God, they're all so cool. And you love them so much. And you want to be in every one of them's lives. Some of us today, Lord, we'll listen and embrace your truth. And we really will try to alter our lives. Others of us, Father, we are so into a religious routine. It's just an hour that goes by in our life once a week. And you know where we stand, Lord. And so God, really, the inside, that little voice that talks to us before we go to sleep. That one. That person. Speak to it, God. That we might want to live in who you are, Jesus. So if you've never asked Christ into your life, just get real with it today. Ask Him, Lord Jesus, today I realize I've sinned. I'm not what you want me to be. And Lord, I'm asking you right now to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I do believe you died on a cross, and I believe you've risen from the grave and you're full of life. And Lord, I want you in my life. And so, Lord, I ask you to come into my life. If you've never done that, just ask me. The most important decision you'll ever make. Maybe you've done that and you've never been baptized. It's time to step out with Christ and be baptized. God desires nobody to die. He wants you all to live in Him. Every one of us. Maybe you need to come today and say, God, thank you. Thank you, God, for allowing me to live even in a tough time, but to get through no matter what. I want to open this altar, and I hope you'll come and participate in it. Spend a day filled with the Holy Spirit, and just you come and be a part of that by participating at the altar for a moment, will you? All right, you ready? In the name of Jesus, come taste the freedom. Connect to Christ. Know you're going to make it in Jesus no matter what. Let's get real with this deal, yeah? All right. Come, oh blessed are the Father. Come and be changed by Jesus. This altar is open. You come. Here comes somebody right now. Y'all come on. Come on.